Let's make sure that, there we go.
Okay.
Now, I will have to abstain on item number three due to a potential conflict of interest with property owned by a client of mine that's in close proximity to that location.
Do you want to repeat your comment on item six, Eric?
Yes, there's a requirement for solid waste facilities permits that an informational hearing occur, or the opportunity for an informational hearing to occur. And what I wanted to do today is enter into the record that we had a representative from the local enforcement agency here today, Pam Raptus, and if we can do that, it satisfies the requirement under the solid waste facilities permit to have the opportunity for the informational hearing.
Yes, I'm confused. I thought item six was an actual agenda item because it's a modification of the MUP.
It is an agenda item, and it is on the potential consent agenda.
Right.
And I just wanted to make that note if your commission wanted to move forward with it today on the consent agenda, that opportunity was given today.
I see.
And also, the city of Chula Vista is not in opposition to this as well?
That is correct.
Okay. Any others for potential? So all of them, okay.
No.
Any other, does anybody wish to pull anything from items two through six?
Yeah, the East Otay Mesa.
And I think it's pull item three so that I can.
That would be item three, I believe.
So item three will be pulled for a simple discussion and an abstention or recusal from Commissioner Reese.
And if I could, I have one quick question on seven.
Okay, please go ahead.
Has that offsite mitigation site been identified for item seven? I was wondering if the offsite mitigation site has been identified for item seven.
Commissioner Beck, through the chair, there has not been a specific site identified for that project, but they would be required to mitigate in the same ecoregion with the same habitat type.
So presumably, this would be in the North County MSCP.
That's correct.
And the reason for requiring offsite for this CSS and the mafic chaparral and not for the other chaparral was what?
The site is relatively constrained. It's in an urban area. Three sides of the project are surrounded by development and proposed development. There is some open space to the east, I believe, but there would be marginal value if left on site.
I completely concur with that. So why was the chaparral on-site mitigation?
There was some areas over by the west site where it's connected to existing habitat that did have some value.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
Okay, so then the chair would entertain a motion for consent for items 2, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
So moved. Second.
Mr. Chairman, just a technical matter on items 2 and 4. Staff will be adding a legal description to those, replacing the adjustment plat and certificate that are currently in that location.
So noted. The maker of the motion would add those. Additions and the second. Okay. With that, any further discussion? If not, please vote. Carries unanimously with all commissioners present. We'll take item three, and Commissioner Reese is recusing himself. And now, ladies and gentlemen, at the conclusion of item three, we will take the subcommittee. Item on the agenda. So at that point, at the conclusion, we'll have some further instructions of how the format of the meeting will be. Okay, Commissioner Beck, what do you want to do on item three? Do you want a full presentation, or do you have some questions, or what?
Well, we've got some.
Oh, we do have one speaker.
I guess we need the whole presentation.
Good morning, Chairman Woods and members of the Planning Commission. My name is Daniela Rosenberg, and I'm here to present the proposed Piper Otay Park tentative map. This project is a proposed major subdivision for 13 industrial lots in the East Otay Mesa specific planning area. The project is located in the 600 block of Piper Otay Road, north of Otay Mesa Road in the Otay subregional planning area. The site is located at the western edge of unincorporated county, adjacent to industrial uses in the city of San Diego. The project site, outlined in yellow, is a generally flat area of non-native grassland that lies between State Route 125 and the previously approved Pilot Travel Center, which is currently in operation. The property is designated in the specific plan for light industrial use. The project would subdivide an undeveloped 24.84-acre parcel into 13 industrial lots ranging from approximately 1 to 3 acres. Access would be from Piper Ranch Road with an internal public road that would traverse the property. The site is within a minor amendment area of the South County segment of the Multiple Species Conservation Program, or MSCP. Processing a minor amendment requires preparation of a CEQA document, a biological resources report, identification of any required mitigation, and concurrence from the wildlife agencies. The county's Biological Mitigation Ordinance, or BMO, requires a 1.5-to-1 mitigation ratio for non-native grassland. The BMO also requires mitigation at a 1-to-1 ratio for impacts to burrowing owl habitat. Although no burrowing owls were found on the project site, since the biology report was approved, burrowing owls have been documented breeding about 2,000 feet from the project site on the south side of Otay Mesa Road. Therefore, the agencies consider the project site as burrowing owl habitat and conditioned their concurrence with a 1-to-1 mitigation ratio. A ratio of less than 1-to-1, but no less than 0.5-to-1, could be negotiated if the mitigation site has a high strategic value, high habitat quality, and would accommodate burrowing owls. An errata sheet provided this morning to the Planning Commission identifies this change to the required mitigation impacts to the project site. The department recommends that the Planning Commission find that the project can rely on the previously certified EIR with an addendum and adopt the resolution of approval for the proposed tentative map. That ends staff presentation. Staff is available to answer questions.
Okay, questions?
Commissioner? Wait till we have the
speaker. Okay, we have Neil. Can you help me, Neil? Is
Hayden?
Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Neil Heighton, and I'm with Hex Solberg here in San Diego. And we represent Pilot Travel, the adjacent property owner down in Otay. Pilot isn't opposed to the project per se. However, we are opposed to the project as currently conditioned. In an earlier iteration of the conditions of approval, draft conditions of approval, there were two items requiring a contribution or reimbursement for a couple off-site improvements that our client Pilot is also, they were conditioned to provide those improvements. They include a left-hand turn lane, additional left-hand turn lane turning northbound onto Piper Otay or Piper Ranch Road, as well as any signalization improvements to that intersection. These conditions were in the draft conditions of approval, and we found out in December, about a month ago, that those conditions had been removed. We would ask that those conditions be reinstated, requiring this project to contribute to the cost of those off-site improvements. Our traffic engineer analyzed the traffic flow at that intersection, and it's our understanding that in terms of the impact to that intersection, our client contributes about 60% of the traffic, and this project contributes about 40% of the traffic. So we would ask that they be conditioned on providing their proportionate share for the cost of those improvements. Thank you.
Hey, perhaps we could have staff respond to this request. Mr. Sensei?
For the record, Ed Sensei, Department of Public Works. Commissioner Woods, The response basically is the draft conditions that were placed on the Piper Ranch TM stem from a traffic study that was initially submitted with the project. As we move through the iterations, the condition dropped out. Staff has looked at the assumptions made by the TM 5527's traffic engineer and has determined that their direct impacts didn't include any measures for putting in that left turn lane or even signalization. To mitigate the cumulative impacts from this project, they're going to be paying their TIF. So moving from something that's a draft to the actual conditions was a process that, you know, I guess the county staff felt comfortable with as far as what mitigations were required.
Okay. Questions of DPW on this, Commissioner Beck?
So are those two improvements still going to have to happen, the left-hand turn lane and the signalization?
Commissioner Beck, through the chair, that's correct there.
Okay.
Required to be put in by pilot travel.
And so who would be financially obligated to pay for those now? If the commission support, if this project goes as staff is recommending, who's going to be required to pay for those?
Pilot travel.
100%?
Correct.
And so there's no contribution from this project to those road impacts at all?
No, there's not. The cumulative impacts will be, again, handled through the TIF payment by the TM 5527.
Okay, so traffic from this project is not going to use those.
Traffic from this project will utilize that intersection. However, the traffic study demonstrated that there was no direct impact from the TM 5527 project at that intersection. The difference being pilot travel is more traffic intensive, you know, with the uses as a gas station, a convenience mart, fast food place, as opposed to or compared to an industrial type use that this TM is proposing.
But they have no fair share contribution necessary. But you're saying that their TIF.
That's correct.
Actually takes up that slack.
That's correct.
But the TIF won't, will the TIF be applied to this intersection?
If it is part of a long-term solution in terms of, I believe, segments of Otay Mesa are TIF eligible. I don't know in particular if TIF will be placed at this intersection.
And when the Piper project was given those requirements for mitigation on traffic and had to identify these improvements were identified, has the Piper project been approved?
Pilot rather?
Yes,
it has been approved.
And does their obligation change with respect to the contribution towards those intersection improvements?
I'm not quite getting your question.
Had testimony that, you know, 60% of it's theirs, 40% of it's this project, and so on. So when Pilot was approved as a project, there was mitigation for traffic applied to the condition as a condition of approval. Is that going to change at all by what happens here today?
No, Pilot will still have the same requirements. And just to clarify a point, there is also existing uses on Piper Otay Ranch Road that are within the city boundary that also contribute traffic. So it's not a 60-40% split. There's
Rick Lantis, Department of Public Works. I had some early involvement in this project also. Another point for the commission to be aware of is that there is a pre-existing secured agreement signed by Pilot Travel for those improvements. And that was a condition of them getting their occupancy, which occurred in, I believe, the middle to latter part of 2008. So those conditions, again, were long pre-existing and agreed to at that point.
Hmm. Nothing happening here today changes any of those obligations that Piper has?
Pilot.
Let's close. Well, actually, I've got more questions. So, okay, I'm okay with this part of it.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Commissioner Norby had a question.
I just, again, just to get my mind around it, just wanted to make sure that I'm 100% confident that Pilot had agreed to pay 100% of those intersection improvements as a condition of their project.
Commissioner Norby, through the chair, that is correct.
Thank you.
Okay. I'd like to call the other guy up again. Yeah, let's go ahead and give Neil 2 seconds here. This is just an individual relative to this particular issue. And since we have so many items on the agenda today, that we might as well make sure we do this one correct. Yes, sir.
We recognize, Pilot Travel recognizes that it is conditioned currently to construct those improvements, and we will honor that commitment. However, we believe it's simply a matter of equity. Their project, the project before you today, is going to be impacting that intersection, and I suspect the reason why they didn't find that there would be any impacts is that they assume that that left-hand turn movement would be in as a baseline in the environmental analysis. I haven't been able to confirm that, but I suspect that that's the case. So again, Pilot, we recognize that we have to install those improvements. We believe it's a matter of equity that the project before you today contribute at least on a proportional basis to the cost of those improvements.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Sensei, you had a comment on his comment, and then we'll
just to clarify, again, as I had mentioned earlier, when county staff reviewed the traffic study for the TM 5527, we checked to see if they made the assumptions that the left turn pocket was in place, and that was not part of the assumptions made by the traffic study. So the traffic study looked at the existing conditions, and even based on the existing conditions, again, no direct impacts were identified.
Okay. Any other questions? Commissioner Beck?
Okay, I'd like to, we just got the concurrence letter from the wildlife agencies this morning, and so I've speed read it, and I have a couple of questions about it. Actually, the first is a comment. It's a general comment, and I'm paying more attention this, particularly since the project in, east of Julian, Ranchita. The project in Ranchita with that bio report that I challenged and intend to follow up on because I thought it was impossible. And there's a comment from the wildlife agencies here on this bio report, and we all know that the burrowing owl issue in East Otay Mesa is pretty critical for the species, but also for the county's, the success of the county's plan. And so there was some criticism from the wildlife agencies about when the surveys were done. They weren't actually even identified in the biological report, that sort of thing. And I'm just like adding this stuff up, and it seems to happen more and more often that these bio reports are incomplete, the project gets approved, and I just think the trend is going degrading in terms of the quality of the report. So that's kind of a comment. Then I was wondering, and if you have a response to the comment, please do. I mean, if you have any thoughts.
They did three surveys for the burrowing owl on this site,
right.
And we followed the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's protocol.
Yeah, but so they didn't identify the time. I mean, to see the burrowing owls, you know, there's, although it's a pretty easy species to identify and to figure out whether it's using the or on site, but whether it's using the site is another question. And so they raised the issue that the biological report, the survey report, it may be there, but it didn't indicate when the surveys were done, that sort of thing, which is kind of a critical component.
Commissioner Beck, through the chair, they did identify that the surveys were done in the mornings.
So the service letter is wrong, inaccurate.
That is correct.
Okay. And what about the northern harrier, which is one of the covered species? Were findings made for that? Again, it's something that, you know, the harriers are going to be using mostly what we consider low habitat value because it's going to be grassland areas, mostly non-native and so on, for their foraging. And so it doesn't jump up as kind of a high impact because the veg community is not a high quality veg community. And I've yet to see findings on kind of justification, or is there some bigger equation that I'm unfamiliar with that kind of links the ultimate conservation of non-native grasslands to the coverage for the harrier? I'm just not sure about that.
Commissioner, back through the chair, the northern harrier is addressed in the MSCP findings.
It is?
Yes, dated September 25th.
And what do they say? I'm sorry, I missed that.
That the impacts are being mitigated through the off-site purchase of mitigation land.
Okay, and then that's The final question is, it looks like from the service letter, this is just a point of clarification, is the offsite mitigation required to address Burrowing Owl needs in terms of either occupied or strategically important to Burrowing Owl habitat, or do they have the option of getting, because it says high habitat value or habitat value with habitat with strategic value? Those are the two kind of conditions that the service put on it. Are those options to Burrowing Owl habitat, or are they qualifiers for Burrowing Owl habitat?
Commissioner Beck, through the chair, they're qualifiers for Burrowing Owl habitat. The one-to-one is the highest level that's being requested by any projects in East Otay Mesa at this time, and that's sort of the bottom line mitigation ratio that's required for this project. The condition for the habitat, there is some opening there for negotiation with the wildlife agencies should a very high-quality site be selected.
Okay. So that I wasn't sure how to read that, but that clarifies it. Okay. I'm all right.
Okay. Any other questions?
I just there's still a question of equity between these two property owners, and I want to kind of go into that a little bit. And so this particular project, the pilot project, is paying a TIF fee. And the prior project that was approved paid, I'm assuming, a TIF fee as well as was required to do some off-site improvements. Is that correct? And was a TIF fee reduced because they had to do in lieu, basically?
Good morning, Commissioners. Rick Lantis, again, DPW. The pilot travel project was exempt from TIF. It was approximately $900,000 that was waived. They did not pay TIF.
Because they were doing these improvements?
I believe that's the case.
Okay. Yes. And this one is paying TIF because they're not contributing to the improvements.
I'll let Ed speak to that.
Commissioner Norby, they're paying their TIF to mitigate their cumulative impacts,
correct,
not necessarily for this direct area, but also for other areas
and
within
the Mesa.
And,
of course, our cars use all the areas, not just that intersection. And what approximately is that TIF fee that they're paying?
I'm sorry, I don't have that. We can go research it if you want real quick.
Does the applicant know?
Not off the top of my head, it's based upon...
Just come to the microphone.
Good morning. My name is Rob Hickson. My address is 350 10th Avenue, San Diego, 92101. I'm the project manager or partner in this. I'm also the chairperson of the Otay Mesa Planning Group for the City of San Diego and have been for the last 8 years. We've built this park. We've been working on it for the last 4 years. We've done three Burrowing Owl studies. We've done three traffic studies. When we purchased the property from Pilot, they were going to go put this all in the corner. We built this project or wanted to make this project so that we could offer small lots for sale. So we can't tell you what size the TIF will be because it's based upon the building sizes.
Okay.
And so what'll happen is we're hoping to market these lots for sale. So somebody might build a big building, somebody might build a very small one, so I can't answer your question.
Okay, appreciate that. Thank you. But there will be TIF paid, and basically they're contributing to the traffic impacts of the area.
You bet.
So,
yeah.
Thank you.
And we also have an offsite that we had to negotiate with the City of San Diego for a left-hand turn lane at La Media in the city.
Move approval.
Okay. Yeah.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to move approval as presented. Any further discussion? If not, please vote. Carries unanimously with Commissioner Reese, or 6-0 with Commissioner Reese recused. That concludes our agenda. Would like to have the director's report.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We sent your commission a memo as a follow-up to an item that you had asked us to follow up on last August. We do not need to have a presentation on that unless any of your commissioners wish. So what's your pleasure, basically, on that
real
issue?
Quickly, yeah.
Yeah, I would say, you know, just based on our previous conversation, it can be taken care of in 3 or 4 minutes. So why don't you, because I would like to actually announce that we'll formally begin the subcommittee at 10 o'clock. Give us time to have a little break and set the whole thing up and then begin.
Okay. I'll just sort of set up this issue. Last August, the Single Oak Drive 14-lot tentative map was heard by your commission. At that hearing, residents in the neighborhood living both on Single Oak Drive and a private road named Whitaker Lane raised concerns that the project would negatively affect their private drainage system by overloading the system during storms. DPW Field Engineering, and they reviewed the request and has recommended that an improvement project be reviewed by the DPW Project Planning Committee to replace the publicly owned and maintained 52-foot-long corrugated metal pipe that exists in this area. The publicly owned and maintained culvert at Single Oak Drive is nearing the end of its service life and will be replaced within the next few years, depending upon the availability of funding and its maintenance priority. As I've stated, the replacement of this culvert would have no impact on the drainage flow on Whitaker Lane, and it would simply be an in-kind replacement. A couple points to note is that the county did not install the existing drainage facilities within or on Whitaker Lane, which is a private road. The existing drainage on Whitaker Lane was installed by private property owners, and it is their responsibility to maintain and improve.
Is it connected to the county's?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. My name is Dennis Campbell with DPLU, and yes, the 52-foot pipe, corrugated metal pipe, illustrated in orange on the graphic, is it's a county-owned, maintained pipe, and Whitaker Lane does connect to that pipe. Yes.
Okay. Any questions on the explanation?
Have the property owners been notified of your investigation and report? The ones who had the concern?
Commissioner Day, through the chair, to my knowledge, the property owners have not been notified of this information, but we did mention it at the hearing that this pipe was private and the county did not have responsibility over it.
Perhaps we could draft a letter to those property owners and properly inform them of this report and your conclusions on the subject.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is there something else? Because I do have one thing I need to do before we close the hearing. So
we have a couple just follow-up items.
Okay.
One is we do have the public road standards going to the Board of Supervisors on the 24th of this month. And we have a request from Public Works that we have a representative from your commission in attendance, given that you formed a subcommittee and considered that.
Yeah, I'd like to recommend Commissioner Brooks to be the representative.
And I had been contacted and agreed to.
Okay.
What's the date of the hearing?
February 24th.
Everybody agree with that?
Not really.
In spite of your personal opinions about Commissioner Brooks, we'll go ahead and let him represent us.
And I specifically say I'm representing Mr. Day especially.
Okay.
One just quick follow-up item. I did want to let your commission know that since you've last met, the Board of Supervisors did approve the zoning ordinance amendment that was previously before you, as well as the subdivision ordinance changes. They'll go through the necessary process to be completed. I think which one has a second reading? The subdivision ordinance does have a second reading, and then those would go into effect. And we look forward to them doing so because we see a number of streamlining and improvements coming out of those changes.
Okay, great.
What's the latest on Miriam?
Miriam was asked by Supervisor Roberts to be brought back to the board for reconsideration. We are shooting for the March 24th hearing with the board to have that reheard.
Okay. I would like to, Mrs. Chafin, if you'd like to come to the podium, please. Mrs. Chafin came in after we finished our consent agenda and wanted to speak on item four, which has already been taken on consent. I would like to, out of respect for you coming down here, give you an opportunity to express your opinion. And we really can't take any action on item four at this point unless we decide to reconvene the hearing at another time and reissue the item as an agenda item, because the applicants and all the folks have left. But I do want to have the opportunity for you to express your opinion.
Thank you.
So give us your name and address for the record, and you've got 3 minutes.
Okay. My name is Cecilia Chafin. I live at 15485 Raptor Road in Poway, California. And I thank you for the opportunity. I'm sorry I was late. My car didn't start. I don't know what items were already listed in terms of opposing this particular project, but there is one that I wanted to make sure was brought up. I have an entire list to leave with you. But the one that concerns me the most is the concern of fire. We were in the middle of the Cedar Fire in 2003, and many of our homeowners lost their homes entirely. The rest of us had extensive damage. The fire went right over us. There is, in this one small geographical area, we are outside the city limits of Poway. We are in the Lakeside Planning Difference District, Lakeside Storage. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble keeping my mind on it. And also, we're in the county. So our representation is spotty at best. The most important thing for you to know is that we have no fire coverage. There is no fire authority that is obligated in any way to come to us in the event of a fire. Poway City Fire can come, but they are not required to. In fact, there was a big discussion about that earlier this year, about the certain areas within the county that have no fire protection, and we are one of them. I have a picture here of one of the towers on fire. We're talking about a lot of electrical equipment. We're talking about a generator. We're talking about a backup generator. We're talking about a tower with wires. You can see this. In fact, I'll leave this with you. And also some other articles. Today in the city of Laguna, they turned one down because of the scrub and the open space areas that they did not want to risk a fire. And they have fire protection, by the way, and we do not. And their terrain is very similar to ours. Ours is scrub. It goes up, you know, it's very brittle. It's very dry out there. We don't have green lawns. My lot's one of the smallest, and it's 10 acres. This is not just open space area. These are homes in 10 and 20 acre tracts. So with no fire protection again. So I would really ask that you reconsider this. Mount Woodson is very close to us, plenty of towers up there. Adding one more would not be a problem, and the Ramona Fire Department does go there. There are other options and other sites that I would respectfully ask that you reconsider before allowing this to go forward.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Could I ask one question?
Yeah, please. Bishop Beck has a question for you, Ms. Shapen.
Actually,
or staff.
It's for staff, but you can stay there.
Okay.
If the right staff person is still here, which may not be the case. So did this project have to identify kind of the purpose and need, and did their analysis of coverage and that usual analysis that goes as part of one of these cell tower approvals? In other words, were alternative sites looked at and that sort of thing?
Yes, Commissioner Beck, through the chair, if I can direct you to sheet 4-34 of your packet is the alternative site analysis.
Okay.
That was completed pursuant to our wireless ordinance.
Okay, so this was determined to be kind of necessary. Does it actually provide service for the people in her vicinity?
And I do apologize. I was out of the room at the moment. Where is your residence?
Yeah. 15485 Raptor Road. I have Verizon Wireless, and it works just fine there.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, I guess the point is that analysis was done as part of the project's requirements to justify the location with respect to the coverage that would be provided. So I believe that all of that analysis was done.
I understand that, but I don't think that they took into consideration that there are other areas that could be looked at which have fire protection and we don't.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for coming down.
Thank you, sir.
I have someone up right here. Maybe I'm naive, but I was surprised to find out through her that we actually have areas in the county that don't have fire protection as a. And are there many areas like that? I know it's not going to come on our preview, but I'm just concerned about it. I know there's no designated fire protection district.
Chairman Woods, Commissioner Brooks, there are parts of the county, both in the unincorporated area and within cities, certain cities that have pockets of unserved areas. For the most part, these areas are predominated by publicly owned lands, for example, we've been working with LAFCO and other agencies to try to get service for these areas, but because much of these areas are publicly owned, they often do not generate a tax base to provide the service. So that's the reason why there are these islands. I don't know about this particular site. I don't know if our staff has particular information on, I would assume so, on whether this site is served by a district or an agency. I would also add that over the years, we have worked out a policy with the fire districts in the area that we call Fire Policy 2 or FP2 that we apply to all these wireless sites that have specific criteria for clearing fire-resistive construction and so on. And this project meets all of those requirements.
Well, right. My question had very little to do with the specific site. I was just kind of alarmed, surprised to find out that there were areas that specific fire districts did not cover. And I know we have this serving thing where adjacent fire districts overlap and help each other. But I was just surprised, and I just wanted to find out if there were more.
And I would add, when incidents do occur in these unserved areas, I mean, somebody does show up. They don't like that they have to show up, but they do show up.
Even though they're not being paid for it.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
For the information.
Okay. That concludes our agenda. I'd like to announce that we will start the subcommittee hearing at 10 o'clock. Take a 15-minute break as per our usual procedure. And, ladies and gentlemen, this is my last meeting as chair. And we will be changing chairs next time. And Commissioner Beck will take over as chair, and Supervisor Jacob will be here to swear him in. So don't be late.
Can we vote on
it? And no, you may not. Yeah. And other than that, I just like to state.
It's not a merit-based thing at all.
Other than that, I just like to state for the record that I've had a very enjoyable year, and all the respect and the work we accomplished was very gratifying. And I thank you for all your support. With that,
okay,
we're adjourned.